other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Shotgun Haircut. Uh-oh. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, boys.
Brick.
Hello.
And calling in from over the seas, from old Ireland, it's old Irish Nico.
Hello.
This is episode 100 of Yak Babies. It might look like we had 101 last week, which we did. This is 100 episodes. Time is meaningless, and so we're allowed to move within it as we want to. To celebrate our 100th episode, which we've been doing this podcast now for close to 3 years, something like that. And also, we've been recording podcasts for about 8 years. If you hadn't been a listener beforehand, you might not have known that we recorded two podcasts before this one called Book Hockey and the Page Count Podcast. So we're celebrating really 8 years of recording history here. We took the 100th episode as our occasion to do so. And the form of celebration in this case is to put together a reading list for the podcast, kind of our essentials, the reading companion for Yak Babies. What books have shaped our perspective and critical outlook? What books have formed the basis of our conversations, our jokes, and things that have given us a good time or a bad time in some ways. Kind of like the pivotal things you have to read to be a Yak Baby. Not just our favorites. I mean, shouldn't the favorites be on there for sure, but it's more than that. It's more like, you know, what matters the most in terms of our reading and our discussions about books. So we go round robin style and hear from all the personal pals and build our list that way, and we'll have some chat along the way and see where it goes. So why don't we start with Dave. Dave, tell us your first entry on the Yak Babies Essentials reading list.
I think maybe just to show what we're talking about, I'm going to pick a real stinker.
Okay.
A book that Brick and Aaron and I read and discussed for a whole episode. Nico, did you read that book? I haven't even mentioned it yet. It's called Early Work by Andrew Martin. Did you get in on that,
no.
Nico? I can't remember. No, okay. Don't read
no.
it.
No,
don't read it.
Yeah.
yeah, don't read it.
You know,
actually, do talk read it, because as much as we hated it, Nico would hate it times 1,000.
Yeah.
Sold.
You know, it's a book about a writer, and it comes up often, that book itself and that theme. None of us really like fiction about writers struggling to write, and that's maybe the worst example of it. We got paid to read and review it, so we did. We whored ourselves out, and I feel like we gave it an honest go. And it's really, read the book and then listen to the episode. I think it's a great episode because we really got deep into it and gave it what I feel like was an honest appraisal, even though all three of us were kind of predisposed probably to disliking it. You know, we still had a pretty even discussion about it.
Yeah, it wasn't all just slagging it off. Like, there was some praise in there for some things. But I think you're right. That book comes up over and over again as our, like, sort of a touch point and discussion for what works and doesn't work, right? We're always using early work as a cautionary example in some ways. Rick, how about you? What's your entry?
I'm gonna take the opposite approach. Uh-huh. One of my favorite episodes, I think, was the episode we did on Frankenstein, which was very similar. Where that was, I think, maybe our longest. If not, it was right up there with Early Work as one of the longest. But it's a book that is one of my personal favorites, and it made me pretty happy that we were able to really get into it and have, I thought, a pretty good discussion about that book and really kind of dig in there and poke at it. And I was really pleased that Dave came away because he hadn't read it before that.
Right.
And I found that to be one of our more listenable, enjoyable episodes.
Yeah. And that was in the first Spooktacular, wasn't it?
He was on my team.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's one of your favorite books too. So it comes up.
Yeah.
It had come up often.
And it's sort of the one I have to publicly say is my favorite book so I don't get ostracized from my career.
Right. Yeah.
Yikes.
Nico, what about you?
So I kind of organized them into groups. So maybe after Frankenstein, I'll throw in some of our other book club picks. Last Night at the Lobster, Under the Volcano. Because I think anytime we all read a book, that makes for a much more interesting discussion than just one of us kind of telling the other ones what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are both examples, too, of the things we kind of discovered together. Dave, you read Stuart Onan, Last Night at the Lobster, and then hyped us all onto it. We got it and read it pretty quickly after that. And Under the Volcano came about because we did the famous Last Lines of Novels game, and I was just intrigued by the entry from Under the Volcano, wanted to know what the rest of it looked like. So those kind of came about together through our podcast recording.
There's also The Friend, which we kind of, I think, all easily forget about, but that did have a nice moment where I think we went into that recording pretty sure on what we thought of that book. And I think we all came out at least slightly changed our minds or felt differently or had a different perspective on that book based on the conversation we had.
Yeah, that was a roller coaster episode for me. That was, I completely changed my mind on that book talking to Dave.
Yeah.
Because of that last chapter, the last two chapters, right? How they were.
Yeah.
We had absolutely a pretty deep discussion about what was real and what wasn't.
Yeah. So keep going on that train of book club reads. I'll add I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, which was our first entry into true crime fiction, at least for the podcast and for some of us, at least entirely in our reading history. And that was a good conversation as well.
It's coming out as a movie, I think, soon.
HBO series, yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, you're up.
So I'm going to go the opposite this time of early work and talk about a book that makes the favorite list, at least for Aaron and I. And Brick read it too, and we had an episode about it. Brick didn't like it quite as much as we did, but that's Stuart Dybbuk's Coast of Chicago. It comes up, I would say, every three episodes, if not even more. Aaron or I will mention
maybe Coast of Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, and it forms so much about our reading, what we look for in reading. I would suggest that it even shapes our writing when we actually do getting the writing done. And it's a book that I know I'm going to read again and again and again. That's it.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's perfect. Brick.
Oh, dear. Well, I think if we're just going to follow this train of like books we all read, I'd move on to our Comics Club books, particularly Paper Girls. I think that one in combination with Shade the Changing Girl are the ones that we got the most out of. I think the other comics we did, we maybe enjoyed but didn't quite get into like those two.
Yeah, that was, I think, also important for our early experimenting with the Yak Baby structure, doing something that's kind of like a read-along for multiple episodes and not just one of them was, I think, really fun.
Me too. Too bad no one downloaded them.
Well, there's no accounting for taste, let's say that. Nico.
All right, so I hit a category called Honor Bullshit, which is the opposite of the books that we've all read. It's the books that only one of us reads and the rest of us don't read. So Dave's are baseball books. Aaron, 33 and a third books.
Yeah.
Me, fantasy books, and Brick, Ian McEwan books. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad Ian McEwan gets, Brick is always there.
It's like a train wreck I can't stop watching. It's like staring at a body you find in a river.
Yeah.
Put that in the back of a book. That's a great blurb. Like staring at a body in a river. Good or bad? I don't know. You decide.
Yeah.
Let's find individual entries for those categories then. So for Dave, a baseball book, what would the entry there be?
Bottom of the 33rd.
It would be
totally.
Bottom of the 33rd by Dan Barry.
Yeah.
I read it almost once a year, and I talk about it so often on the podcast.
And I read it too. We talked about it in one episode as well. I love that book.
Mm-hmm.
What would be, Nico, what would be your fantasy entry?
Probably Way of the King or Way of the Kings. I can't remember. But it was the first fantasy book that I, 5 years ago or so.
Brick, what about your Ian McEwan entry?
So I would point to, I think McEwan as well as a few others that maybe we'll talk about a bit, like maybe including Stephen King. We talk about them a lot in not necessarily glowing terms or kind of dunk on them a little bit or use them as an example of not greatness maybe or some kind of faded literary talent. So I would actually say that I would point to the books of his that I do like that impressed me so much that made me want to keep reading his books even as they start falling apart. So my two favorites by him are The Cement Garden and Solar. And I think, as we've talked about, I think probably Cement Garden comes up more often as far as how we're talking. So that would be maybe my pick if we were going to go through books that we discussed on the podcast. The last three in particular have all had those sort of flawed conceits. Nutshell, Machines Like Me, and The Cockroach. And I would say Machines Like Me was maybe the least worst of the three, and we had the most maybe discussion about it, so I'd probably include that one.
Yeah, those are reliable treats for us in the new year, is when you read the new Ian McEwan.
I mean, following his trends, I can feel pretty good that there's going to be a 70 to 80 page book coming out around Thanksgiving.
Soon.
Right.
It's going to be like coronavirus mixed with like fucking Scarlet Letter. So,
I mean, fucking why not actually?
Go for Hester Prynne's not wearing her fucking face mask. I don't know.
Brick, start writing that book right now. You're sitting on a gold mine.
I could hit 80 pages, I think.
Yeah. For my 33 and a third entry, I'm going to put the one about television's Marquee Moon, which I think is the best of the series, at least that I've read. It showcases what makes the 33 and a third series good, which is it's really well researched, but has not come off as wonky. Lots of context and interviews, but also really good insight into the music itself. It kind of does everything that those books should do. When they don't work, they kind of fall off in one end or the other. There's not enough attention to the scholarship, or there's not attention to the music criticism or whatever. And this one has it all. And a really good voice, too. It doesn't read as second, which is nice. So I really like that one a lot. I wanted to... Oh, sorry. I think, Brick, you're next in our roundabout style.
One of my categories was sort of not necessarily books we've even really covered, but just books that aren't necessarily any of our favorites, but I think inform our reading styles or inform our discussions. I got a handful listed. I'd say one of the first ones would probably be Ulysses by James Joyce, which I'm not even sure all of us have read, but it comes up fairly frequently as kind of an exemplar.
That's funny. When I was making my list separately, I wanted to put a Joyce thing down because it comes up a lot, but I put Finnegan's Wake actually. So I'm wondering why you chose Ulysses over that. I feel like Finnegan's Wake comes up more often.
I think we mentioned Finnegan's Wake, but not in a, you know, like I've said before, I don't think it's possible to read that book. I think that whole book is
right. Something
different. Whereas I think Ulysses just takes up so much space in the literary room that even if you haven't read that book, it can still work as a guidepost for discussions and whatever else. And I think if I start talking about the structures or some of the interesting aspects of Ulysses, even if one of you haven't also read it, or whatever, I think it's still functional as a talking point when we're looking for referential stuff when dissecting a different book or a different idea.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think maybe Portrait of the Artist of the Young Man would also be a good example of his kind of styles and stuff, but typically when we're talking about Joyce, we're talking about the structure. I know it came up a lot in Under the Volcano when we were
absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with that. I want to open a category for childhood books. I'll put mine on here, which is The Martian Chronicles. It comes up a lot as my example of a book I love from when I was younger that I still go back to and read consistently. I know that you guys have those as well. So I want to hear what you think yours are. Start with Dave.
Johnny Tremaine is mine that we've talked about so much.
Johnny Deformed.
Classic Johnny Deformed. Yeah, I wrote that down as well for you, Dave.
Yeah.
Brick, what about your childhood book?
I talk about Watership Down a lot, but mine is probably Ender's Game, which I've also talked about a lot. I think as an adult, I understand the flaws of that book and particularly the flaws of that author.
Right.
But that book had a really big impact both on me as a reader and also me as just kind of like a person.
Yeah, right.
So I go back to it a fair amount and I still really like it. And it prompted some very long episodes in previous incarnations of this.
Nico, I tried to come up with one for you, but I couldn't figure out what it would be. I think I have an idea, but I'm curious what you would say for your like childhood book here.
I'd probably say Snow Crash.
Yes, okay, right.
I have a very vivid memory of reading it when I was about 13 or 14, and I think I've read it once since, but not in like 15 years. And actually, Kathleen, my wife, was just reading it, and she was like, when does this book get good? And I started like thinking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, there is a lot of talk about like fucking languages, like a lot of language talk, and there's like a lot of like real technical bullshit, and then there's a dude that has sex with like a 15-year-old girl that, you know, when I was 13, I was like, oh, that's no big deal. But now it's like, so that I think I'm probably never going to read that book again because I think I could only be disappointed at it now.
Interesting. I've never read it, so maybe I should read it and be your surrogate for being disappointed.
Sure. Yeah. It does still have some things that I think are cool. Like the guy who has sex with the 15-year-old girl.
That's cool.
Rides around with on a motorcycle with a nuclear bomb in the sidecar. And if his heart stops, the bomb blows up. So everybody's trying not to kill him. So that's how he avoids like grief from all of the fucking gangs in the dystopian future.
That sounds like What's-His-Face movie, Jason Statham movie.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Except everybody else dies too.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just him.
Right. I would want to put on here that I don't know if there's a category for it. Maybe it's because it's not our Drunk Review book, but it's one that we read, at least two of us read books in this category that inform all of our discussions too. It comes up quite often, which is The Serial Murders by Diane Mott Davidson. Dave and I dug into the DMD bibliography DMD. And we're not disappointed.
Yeah, we even had, I think we had a really fun game about surrounding those books, maybe in book hockey, maybe even in the page count days. But
yeah, one of the
I
best
think
games.
You read an entire book. I never got through mine. Yours was Serial Murders.
I didn't
murders.
Actually. I think mine was Serial Murders.
I think mine was Serial Murders, and yours was something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think you're right about that. Actually, I did not finish mine either. Actually,
but you did try one of the recipes, like a brie, some kind of like brie strawberry pie or something.
Tomato pie, tomato, ugh. Tomatoes and brie, basically baked into a pie crust. It was fucking awful.
It wasn't the same tomato you were fucking.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Aaron, because I didn't even think of her. But yeah, we've had a lot of fun with Diane Mott Davidson over the years.
Totally. And there's been several aborted projects that were tied to Diane Mott Davidson. We're going to do an entire read through of her bibliography. We're going to do more cooking based on her recipes. Like, that's still possible. Yeah. We can still do it. Right. That was definitely part of the planning. Dave, let's hear from you.
I'm going to go with, none of us read or discuss poetry very much, but sometimes when we do, we try to have fun with it. Aaron stumbled across a writer a few years ago who kind of stands for everything that we stand against. And Aaron even created a persona. And that writer is Tyler Knott Gregson, and his various typewriter, cocktail napkin, whatever poetry. I couldn't remember the title of the book you read and first discussed. I don't think it matters anyway.
Yeah, I just put down Tyler Knott Gregson poetry, period.
Yeah. Missives from a laundromat or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just such garbage.
Yeah. Just the first thing that comes to your mind. It's honestly just first thought poetry. It's like there's no editing. There's no like depth to it. Ugh.
Well, famously, we had a game where I wrote poems while I was drunk, and I made you guess which ones were mine, which ones were Tyler Knott Gregson's.
Several
and you got
times.
Them all wrong.
It's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible.
It's really hard. Until we got to Vagina Sex Fucktropolis.
Right.
Vagina Sex Fucktropolis.
Yeah. Ooh, one of the longest extended laughs in our run.
Do you think they'll print that mug for us?
Yeah, why wouldn't
Vagina
they?
Vagina Sex Fucktropolis, let's
guaranteed they will.
All right, that'll be up.
To lose all of our jobs very quickly.
It's going to have your face on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's my shining mug.
That would be amazing. Just Aaron's face on one side and on the other one, Vagina Sex Fucktropolis. That's it. No explanation.
It'll be up long enough for you guys all to order one, and then I'll pull it down.
It fucking goes viral immediately. There's fucking mug clones.
Mug clones. All right, Brick, let's hear from you.
All right, so, I mean, we can go back to the well of, like, books that sort of inform our sensibilities, or there's the whole category of Aaron's sadness.
So let's say this. This is entry 22. Let's try and get to 25, and then we'll call this part one, and then do another episode after that.
All right, then we'll maybe save Aaron's sadness, because that can be a whole episode.
So maybe some overlap there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. So I guess going back to what I was saying about Joyce, I think there's other authors that even if we don't necessarily talk about them directly that much, I think they've influenced us. I think Nabokov comes up a bunch, obviously Lolita for me, but we've also talked about Pale Thalia a fair bit. Kurt Vonnegut comes up a fair bit. Stephen King comes up a fair bit. James Patterson, even though we hate him, comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Kevin Barry.
Craig Nova.
I mean, I put Lolita down there for sure. That was a high entry for me because that comes up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nico, can you think of one sort of in that same, or do you have a pick from that kind of same category of?
Yeah, books that we all hated. Goodbye, Columbus.
No, that's the Aaron Sadness category.
Yeah, that's going
to we're leading the next books episode. That we all hated.
I can't really think of one. I have like a category to. Well, here I'll just spit them out. So I had a category of like our kind of favorites, and there's a lot of overlap with what we've already mentioned. But like Dave, Dybbuk, Onan, George Saunders, Lincoln in the Bardo, Coast of Chicago. For Aaron, like Grant Morrison, I think is the big one. All-Star Superman.
Yeah, that's also in the Aaron Sadness category.
Okay, we'll say
right. Two. And then Brick, what he was just saying, Nabokov, Joyce, Vonnegut, McEwen, Frankenstein, Lolita. And then for me, like Michael Chabon, Patrick DeWitt, Neal Stephenson, Sisters Brothers, Yiddish Policeman's Union, Cavalier and Clay. A lot of writers I've realized putting this together. I like one of their books, and then I don't like any of their other books, which is depressing. Or at least I like one or two, like, way more than any of the shit. And I keep reading their new books, and they keep sucking, which is the case with Patrick DeWitt, I think, is the biggest one. He had such a good first two books, and then his second two were terrible. Anyway, is he the one
that wrote about the Space Butler? Was that one of the terrible books?
Space Butler? I don't think so. They're just like his Scott Miller. Well, I mean, it's not a Space Butler. There's a book called Under Major Domo Minor that I'm looking at right now. It is about like a kind of a butler, I think, but he wasn't in space. It's way more boring than that. It's like he's just like an under butler, and that's it. And he tries to do a good job. It's really, Rick, it's I think just you're thinking really, of really nothing.
Nico did a drunk review of a sci-fi book about like a space butler and all this etiquette and stuff. I think the writer was like Scott Miller or something.
Oh, I do vaguely remember that. Oh.
And it sounded terrible, but it was a fun episode because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So can we maybe, it sounds like we've mostly hit the positives on this one. And then like we have all the drunk reviews to go through that can maybe be a separate one as well. So is there any more that sort of fit what we've already talked about to go through before we split?
Well, yeah. Nico, give me a single Chabon novel. What would you say is the one Chabon read that you would put in this list? Is it Cavalier and Clay?
Cavalier and Clay, yeah. Yiddish Police Union, I think, is good. And Wonder Boys.
Oh, right. I feel like that might be...
I think those
we talked about Wonder Boys a lot.
Those three are good. And pretty much the rest of his books, like, I don't like.
I think Wonder Boys comes up most often, especially in comparison to early work, that kind of thing about books about writers, is the one that we actually do like.
Right. So that's
also, it comes up a lot because at least I mention a lot that I like the movie more than I like the book, which is rare.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So what about a Vonnegut pick?
I think Slaughterhouse-Five is the one, again, that's most like podcast relevant.
You talk favorite. About Galapagos more than that.
Galapagos is probably my favorite of his books. As a kid, my favorite was Breakfast of Champions, but as I got a little older, read it a few more times. I think Galapagos is probably his best book.
I'll do a double entry there with Slaughterhouse-Five and Galapagos. Okay, let's do one last one for this episode. So entry 25. Anyone want to throw out their final entry for this like first edition of like books that we mostly enjoy?
Why don't you throw All-Star Superman in there? I don't think
that's going in the Aaron Sadness category.
Let's go in the Aaron Sadness category.
I got a whole list.
what about another Grant Morrison? Because I feel like that's pretty iconic for you.
I was thinking about that too. In making this list, I realized that there's lots of stuff that I love that I don't talk about very often. Like, I really love The Filth by Grant Morrison, but I don't think I've ever mentioned the podcast before. I thought about his Justice League run, which is good, but I don't know. It just doesn't come up. It's not podcast relevant enough to make it on the list, I don't think.
A comic that I think we were all very positive on and we read to varying degrees, but I think also helped hook a lot of us into maybe a little broader comic reading was Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that was, I think, the first time that sort of other people got involved in comics on the show. Because back in the Page Count days, Mark got into it. I read it first. Mark got into it. And then Dave got interested. Brick got interested.
I was pretty late to the party.
Yeah, but still, it's kind of been a recurrent topic, which is nice. It's a great, it was a great book. I haven't read it in a long time. But it's gone through several creative teams since then. But the original run was really fantastic. That's a good 25. So here, our first 25 are Early Work by Andrew Martin, Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, Last Night of the Lobster, Under the Volcano, The Friend, All Begone in the Dark, The Coast of Chicago, Paper Girls and Shade the Changing Girl, Bomb of the 33rd, The Way of Kings, The Cement Garden / Solar, Nutshell, Machines Like Me and Cockroach, 33rd About Television's Marquee Moon, Ulysses, The Martian Chronicles, Johnny Tremain, Ender's Game, Snow Crash, The Serial Murders, Tyler Gregson's Poetry, Lolita, Wonder Boys, Slaughterhouse-Five, Galapagos, and Ms. Marvel. That's not a bad list. Right. That covers a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Let's regroup, and we'll do part two with the next 25 and see what else we get. There's a lot of good stuff to come. A lot of the punching bags are still to come, so want to hear from those people for sure. Great. So check us out on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Let us know which of these books you've read or which ones you haven't read. Which ones do you want to read, maybe? Would you suggest other reads that we have put on our essentials list that you think are important to our podcast if you're a dedicated listener? Let us know all that kind of stuff. And also find us on Patreon.com/YakBabies for $1 a month. You can get access to our bonus episodes, which are a lot more ribald than this. So check those out as well. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies wish to thank all the personal pals who listen each week, and most especially to send extra thanks to all who have supported on Patreon past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, and William Howard Taft.